Now, I know you won an Oscar at 16 and you went on to have a prolific TV and film career. I know our listeners are going to want to know, do you still enjoy acting?
I do. I don't get to do it as often as I would like because I've aged almost out. But any place where I can communicate with people, and to me the theater is that place, I just love it. Doesn't mean I don't get really nervous, but I love it.
And do you have any projects in the works right now you can share with us?
I do have one. This one was impossible to turn down. It's a month in Hawaii doing a play, a very charming play. So that's the nearest thing on the horizon.
And in my reading this morning, I ran across some beautiful lines from one of your books. I believe your diagnosis of bipolar disorder was made in 1982, and you said, "They were the best words I ever heard. They described how it felt to be me." And I wondered if you could expand on that a little bit and discuss your road from diagnosis to advocacy.
Okay. Before diagnosis and treatment, my life was chaos, utter chaos. And anybody who was around me was sucked into this chaos. I fought getting help or treatment, as they say, with tooth and nail. I would not... Everybody else was crazy, not me. And then there happened to be a lucky accident. I had nodes on my vocal cords, and I was given steroids to combat that. And the steroids kicked me into a manic episode. And the psychiatrist I happened to be seeing, who thought he was treating me for depression, finally saw me in mania. And that's when he said, "Don't be afraid. I think you're manic depressive," which is what we now call bipolar. And the sentence you just read meant I wasn't the only one. Oh my God, if it has a name, then other people know about it. And I was blessed with a psychiatrist who really knew his stuff, both on the treatment, mental treatment part of it, but also on the biochemical part of it.
Can you just briefly describe how you decided to make the transition once you kind of dealt with your diagnosis, came to terms with it, to decide to take an advocacy role?
I couldn't help it. After about 3 weeks after the medication started, I began to notice what a balanced life is. And to me, if you have a secret, a wholesome secret that you can share with people to ease their fear of dealing with this, then I had to do it. I just had to do it. And it has been a remarkable part of my life. Total strangers text me or email me, but sometimes they call just to say, "Oh, thank you. You made me feel like I wasn't the only one."
And I know I want to ask you now that the mental health community nationwide has been working to remove the stigma associated with mental illness. And from your perspective, where do you think we stand on that? How do you think we're doing?
I've been an advocate for more than 30 years. When I first started, people spoke of it only in whispers, and negative whispers at that. You hear more people talking about it in the media. But the stigma still exists. It's a long time in coming, the stigma, and it's not going to be gone in a snap, which is what I want. I want a big, fat snap.
And so what can people look forward to when you're here next week and you're speaking? Can you give people a little glimpse what they look forward to during your speech next week?
Well, I hope that the people realize they're coming for a visit with someone who has walked this walk. It's important for me to note that there's also a lot of humor in the presentation because I did some really weird things. So mostly it will be to reach out to those who have fought getting help, and also to take notice, great notice, of the people in the psychiatric field who deal with this every day.
And we have been speaking with actress and mental health advocate Patty Duke, also known by her lovely birth name, Anna Marie. Thank you so much for getting on the phone to talk with us. We appreciate your time. Safe travels to Texas.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.